First of all, let me remind you that Jared spoke last week from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. And he addressed what that text and what other texts have to say about the centrality of the local church and the plan of God. And I appreciated how clearly that Jared called all of us to be focused on the local church, to be fully engaged in a Christ-centered commitment to one another, for the glory of God, for our spiritual good, for the maturing of one another, for the encouragement of one another, and ultimately even for the progress of the gospel. And so Jared was speaking about the local church, and I'm going to be speaking about the local church also this morning, but from a little bit different perspective. This morning I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and then some other texts, and I'm going to be talking about the leadership of the local church, about elders particularly. I'm going to do this in a little bit different way. I'll be focusing on the text in 1 Peter 5, but I'm going to open up the text by simply making four primary statements that you'll find in your bulletin. I'm going to make those statements and trying to work through some issues, some things about leadership, and then hopefully support those statements from our text and from other places. I'm going to begin very briefly by establishing the biblical office of elder and then move on primarily to, I hope, address the subject of shepherding, the real primary biblical role of your elders, of your pastors here, is that of shepherding the flock of Christ that God has given to us charge over. So along the way, I want to address also some very practical matters that I hope perhaps will help with some misunderstandings that you have about us as elders and about leadership in the church. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Peter is writing to the elders there in some scattered churches, and he says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Well, let's pray and ask God's blessing on His Word this morning. Our God, we bow before You, and we thank You that we've already been able to worship. Lord, even as we were able to sing this last song, and as Mike reminded us, Lord, we gather here this morning as a people that were all broken, a people that were not part of Your flock, that were scattered. And Lord, You called us by Your grace as the Great Shepherd into the fold. You brought us into the fold of God. And Lord, we gather here this morning as the people of God, as a flock that You have gathered in this particular place. And Lord, You have given responsibility and charge to us as shepherds of this flock. And part of that responsibility is to faithfully open the Word of God. And so I pray that You would help me to do that this morning. And I pray that I would be able to speak, Lord, from the Word of God, but also to speak from my heart, from the heart of my fellow elders this morning. And the Lord, it would be helpful to us all as we all desire, Lord, to honor and to glorify You here in this place that You've called us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me jump right in. My first statement, there are two words that are used interchangeably in the New Testament to refer to the leaders in the church. Leaders are referred to as both elders and overseers. And I realize that this first couple of points are things that you've heard before, but bear with me, and I just think it's important to bear repeating, and I'm going to maybe make some applications from these that you've not heard before, or maybe that we feel need to be emphasized. So the first word is that of elders, and the word elder is a carryover from the Old Testament. It was a term that was used in the Old Testament. Primarily, it was used for those older men who had been given some responsibility in Israel, and those elders in Old Testament Israel were to be leaders in the nation of Israel. They were to counsel people, they were to manage the affairs of Israel. And this usage continued in the New Testament in the synagogue, and this same term, elders, began to be used also then in the church. And Peter uses this word in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, "So I exhort the elders," the same word, "the elders that are among you." And elder really is, I think, the primary designation given to leaders in the church in the New Testament. We find it in Acts 14:23. Remember whenever Paul was going around after having gone on his first missionary journey and churches were planted? He went back to those churches as he went back toward Antioch. And there, as he went to those churches, one of the things that he did in each one of the churches was that he appointed elders in each one of the churches. The same word, elders, in the churches. So each of the churches had men that were appointed as elders. There's another word that is used, and that is overseers. And in its general usage, the word overseer simply means somebody that manages. And so it's used oftentimes in the Bible, it's used oftentimes in secular history, of somebody that managed the affairs of others, that maybe sometimes even managed cities, that managed other people, administration type of thing. And they were given in the church, elders are also called overseers, because as elders, we have the responsibility to manage the church. Well, I said that these two terms are used interchangeably. Sometimes the word elders used, sometimes the word overseers used, but it refers to the same office, to the same group of men. And we see that, for example, in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was addressing the elders in Ephesus, he also referred to them as overseers. He used the two words interchangeably. We also see this in Titus chapter 1, whenever Paul is writing to Titus, and he's telling Titus about the qualifications for eldership. In verse 5, he tells Titus, this is the reason I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town. That was what Titus was supposed to do. But then two verses later, in verse 7, Paul says, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. In other words, Paul is using those two terms interchangeably. Elder, overseer, same group of men. So we see this in the Word of God. But there's another word that for a long time, and in our day, is also used to refer to those that are leaders in the church. And that is the word pastor. So in our second point, see how quickly I got through that first one, right? Second statement, when we use the word pastor here in this church, we are using it interchangeably with that of elder. So when we use the word pastor here, we're talking about elder. When we use the word elder, we're talking about pastor. And the word pastor is not a biblical word, at least as we in our thinking, but the word pastor comes from a Latin form of the Greek word, which is most often translated shepherd. So a pastor simply means a shepherd. And we see that oftentimes in the New Testament. And this is the way the word is used, for instance, in our text. In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, Peter's writing, and he says to these elders that are among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That's the word. That's the same word that we would think of pastor. So when you think of pastor, you should immediately be thinking of shepherd. And we'll talk a little bit more about what shepherding is in a few minutes. But for right now, I simply again want to emphasize that the title pastor is simply a descriptive word of really the role that we are to play in the church. So shepherd oftentimes in the writing of the New Testament is used as both a noun and a plural. In other words, we are shepherds and we are to shepherd. We are shepherds, a noun, but our primary role is that to shepherd, verb. It involves an activity. And so when we are here and we refer to ourselves as elders, I hope that you immediately also know that we are thinking of ourselves as pastors. So in other words, Ray is a pastor. Ray is an elder. I'm a pastor. I'm an elder. Mike, Jared, Carl, Bruce are elders, but they are also pastors, and they should be viewed as pastors. Which brings me to the next statement, number 3. You think this is going to be a pretty short message, don't you? Number 3, the New Testament refers to elders and pastors in the church in the plural. Again, this is not something new. We see this plurality in our text. 1 Peter 5, 1, for I exhort the elders in the plural that are among you. And again, we see this in the New Testament oftentimes. The Bible teaches a plurality of elders. And when we talk about a plurality of elders, we simply mean there are more than one. There are a number of elders. Acts 14:23, when Paul and Barnabas had appointed elders in the plural in these churches. In Titus 1:5, Paul says, I left you in Crete to appoint elders in the plural in each one of the towns as I directed you. So we believe that the Bible clearly teaches, and for the good of the church, there is a plurality of elders, that God gives gifts to men, more than one. Typically, if the church is of any size, Christ will gift the kind of men and enough men in that congregation, in that flock, to care for the needs of the church. Well, let me pause here to address a couple of things that flow from my last two statements, if I can. First of all, I already mentioned that we use the term pastor and elder interchangeably here. Well, this is not the case in many churches. In many churches, even churches that we would agree with primarily in doctrine and in practice, and in many churches that we would agree with even in these ways, they don't use these two terms truly interchangeably. In many churches, there's a distinction that's made in the eldership, so that some of the elders would be referred to as pastors, and some of the others would simply be called elders. Often the elder that's in the pulpit the most may be referred to as the pastor. That's the pastor of the church. Or maybe those that are in full-time ministry in a church might be considered to be pastors, where the other men would be considered to be elders as kind of a distinct group, a different group from that of from the pastors. Well, we don't see that distinction in the New Testament. We don't see that distinction in the Scriptures. All of your elders that serve here are pastors. And why do I make this point? I make this point because it impacts how you as a church views us as men in our role as elders and in our roles here at the church. And it has some other ramifications that I'll talk about a little bit more later. But I hope for now that you can just understand that if somebody asks you the question, which people often do, if somebody were to ask you the question, who's the pastor of your church? And you immediately think, Ray Russ is the pastor of my church. Or Ray Russ and Greg Roberts are the pastors of our church because we happen to be full-time and we happen to be older guys. Or who's the pastor of your church? And maybe you think, well, Ray Russ and Greg Roberts and Mike Brown are the pastors of the church because they're all full-time. If that's your thinking, then I think you have a deficient view of what the role of the eldership is here in the church. And I understand what people mean when they ask the question, who's the pastor of your church? A lot of times in people's mind, there is one guy that's the pastor. So I understand that. And oftentimes in people's mind, they're simply wanting to know, who does most of the preaching in your church? That's the question maybe they're asking. So I understand that. But at least in your mind, I hope that you truly have come to understand that there is a true plurality of pastors here in the church. There is not a pastor. If somebody asks you, who is the pastor of your church? I hope in your mind you immediately think, oh, well, we don't have a pastor. We actually have six pastors, which blows people away sometimes. But no, we have six pastors. We have six guys that God has gifted that are shepherds in the church. So, and I hope that that clarification is helpful to you. And along with this, let me make clear that as an eldership, we also don't see any place in the New Testament for the designation of senior pastor. Because a lot of churches have this designation. They might even on paper say that we have a plurality of elders. We have more than one pastor. But in their mind, yeah, but there's still one senior pastor. There's still one guy who's kind of like the CEO. He's still kind of like the head guy who really is the guy that runs things behind the scenes. And I want you to know we don't have a senior. Ray doesn't look at himself as the senior pastor here at the church. A second clarification, although we have different areas of oversight, each of us, as pastors, have responsibility for all areas of the church. So in other words, we have, among ourselves, divided many of the responsibilities in the church up into different areas, and we have individual oversight, primary oversight, over different areas in the church. But we are all, as pastors, responsible for all areas of oversight in the church. And I point this out because, unintentionally, I think we may have fostered a misunderstanding even by the designations that we've made for ourselves. So, for instance, in your bulletin, Mike is listed as the student ministries / children's pastor. And so oftentimes in people's mind, they're thinking when they think of Mike, oh, well, Mike, he's the pastor of students. Well, Mike, he's the pastor of children's ministry. And if that is the thing that you have in your mind primarily about Mike, that's not the understanding that you should have about him. Mike is primarily one of the pastors of the church. As one of the pastors of the church, one of the areas of oversight Mike has is the pastor of students, over ministry to the students and children, as I have many responsibilities in the church here. For instance, I am a pastor of the church. Now, I am the missions pastor, and again, I understand when people say that, you know, Pastor Greg, he's the missions pastor, but I am primarily a shepherd of the church. I'm a pastor of the church. And one of the areas of oversight I have is that of missions. And it's the same true with all of the guys. It's the same thing with Ray. Ray is a pastor of the church. And one of the areas that he has that is his giftedness is that of preaching. But he is a pastor of the church, along with Mike and Jared and Carl and Bruce and myself. We're all pastors. We all have oversight over the church. We have oversight over all of these areas. I have oversight as a pastor over the students, not just Mike. Bruce and Jared are to be pastors of students and pastors of children and your pastors. And they have responsibility also over missions. Do you see what I'm trying to say? We are primarily pastors. And then we've divided the responsibilities up so that we can more easily manage or oversee the responsibility of the church. Well, let me continue with another statement. Number four, and this is where I'll be spending most of my time. The primary overarching role of elders is that of shepherding. And I've already made that point, but I'm going to labor this point this morning because that's what I'm trying to share. I'm trying to share the heart of your pastors in coming this morning with this text. The primary overarching role of elders is that of shepherding. In our text, Peter exhorts the elders in these churches in Asia Minor to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, in speaking to the Ephesian elders as he's getting ready to leave, in verse 28, a familiar verse to you, says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." The NASB translates in our text, 1 Peter 5, to care for the church of God as, the ESV does, as shepherd the church of God. And these both are accurate indicators of what it is that shepherding is all about. To care for the church of God, to shepherd the church of God. Elders have the responsibility to care for the people in the church. And notice that in both 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20, the reason is given as to why we are to shepherd the church, because we are given the responsibility to oversee. We have oversight. So we have the responsibility to exercise oversight over the church, and the way we exercise oversight over the church is by shepherding. Do you see that? The two are connected. That's how we do it. We shepherd the flock. We are to look over the church. We are to discern the spiritual needs of the church, and that we are to seek to shepherd the flock. And you've heard many times from the pulpit here that the task of pastors is threefold, that we are to feed the sheep, we are to lead the sheep, and that we are to protect the flock. That's, again, scriptural. That's there all over the place. And all of these are part of exercising oversight. You know, the analogy of shepherd and sheep is not as familiar to us as it would have been to the people in the New Testament times and all of biblical times. But when they heard this shepherding analogy used, it would have been very, very familiar with them. And they would have understood what it was that a shepherd was supposed to do and the relationship that a shepherd had with the sheep or the shepherds had with their sheep. They would have understood it very clearly. They knew that shepherds were responsible to feed the sheep. The shepherds would take their sheep and they would lead them to green pastures. They would know that it was time for the sheep to feed, and they would have to take them and lead them to places where they would be able to eat good grass. And they would have to make sure that they didn't eat bad grass or eat poisonous plants. They would have to make sure that they were able to have good water, to be kept away from contaminated water. That's how the responsibility of the shepherds was over their sheep. And also, they were to lead the sheep. Shepherds had to travel with their sheep. They didn't just sit in an office someplace and tell the sheep, okay, it's time to go out now, go out to the pasture land on that side of that hill. They were to go out with the sheep, and they led the sheep. They were to go sometimes on difficult paths, and the shepherd would go ahead and make sure that the path was a safe path to walk on. They were to lead their sheep. They would go in front of them. And shepherds, as they grazed their sheep, as they led them to good water, were to protect the sheep. They were always on guard against those predators that would come to kill the sheep, to try to steal the sheep away. So all of these things are part of shepherding. And in this simple imagery, we see our responsibilities here as pastors in the church. That's what we view ourselves as what we're supposed to be doing as we exercise oversight over you. We are to feed you from the Word of God, and we are to lead you, we are to lead you with the Word of God and by our example, and we are to protect you from false doctrine, from false teaching. We see this kind of shepherding in the example of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. In chapter 20, verse 27, when Paul is getting ready to leave the Ephesian elders and leave the church at Ephesus after being there for 3 years, Paul is charging the elders in Ephesus, and he's basically saying to them, I want you to carry on the responsibilities that I've been doing for these 3 years among you, and that I've been helping you do, and that you've been watching me do. This is all now your responsibility. And he's charging the elders as he's leaving in Ephesus. And verse 27, Paul says, first of all, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That was how Paul fed the church. He gave them the word of God. He was careful to declare all of the counsel of God. He didn't give them just the words that he thought would be comfortable for them. He didn't come with his own wisdom. He had nothing to say of himself. He came with the word of God, opening the word of God, instructing them in the word of God, guiding them in the word of God. And this is what the Ephesian elders were supposed to do. And they were also supposed to be very careful, because Paul said, I know when I leave, he said in verse 29 and 30, I know that when I leave, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. There will be men even rising up from among yourselves speaking twisted words. And you as elders are supposed to guard the sheep from false teachers, even false teachers from within. Protect them. We see something else in Acts 20 about shepherding that I think is so important. In Acts 20, we see that true shepherding comes through relationships. In Acts 20, verse 18 and 19, Paul said, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. Do you see that? Paul says, I was among you. I was 3 years in and out among you, getting to know you personally. There was a relationship that Paul had. We see this at the end when the church began to weep and cry as Paul was leaving, because it was such a bond, such a relationship that Paul had with the church in Ephesus. In verse 20 of Acts 20, Paul says, I did not shrink from declaring anything that was profitable. And then notice what he says, teaching you in public and from house to house. Paul didn't just come on Sunday morning and preach a sermon and then walk away. Paul was responsible, he felt, for all of the church in Ephesus, all of those in the church, all members, all individuals, and he went from house to house taking the word of God, not just to teach them, but as we're going to see, to encourage and to help and to guide them, to actually shepherd them. And in our text in 1 Peter 5:1, Peter exhorts the elders who are among you. We see that same kind of relationship that elders are to have with the people in the church. And we see here that Paul was an example of what true shepherding looks like. I like what one writer said that I read a long time ago. He said, shepherds that are truly shepherding smell like the sheep. And isn't that true? How in the world can a shepherd from a long distance and truly care for the needs of the flock and truly care for the needs of the individual sheep? No, a shepherd goes in and out among the sheep and he smells like the sheep. Again, Paul said he went from house to house. And we see here, for us as elders, a responsibility. We have a responsibility to shepherd you as a flock. We also have a responsibility to shepherd you individually. Think again of the imagery of a real shepherd. A real shepherd or real shepherds had to take in consideration the needs of the flock as a whole. And so as they looked at the flock as a whole, they took the whole flock, because it was time to graze, with them, guiding the whole flock along the way to green pastures. And in the heat of the day, he realized that as a whole, the sheep needed fresh water. It was time for them to go sit by the cool stream to drink fresh water. So he took and he led the whole flock down beside the still water. And as he looked out over the whole flock, sometimes he was looking out in the distance for storms that might be coming on the horizon, that might be coming to affect the whole flock. And he was watching out for predators that might come in and inflict the whole flock. So you see, there was that whole flock kind of mentality that the shepherds had. And this is a good picture of one of our roles as pastors. As pastors, we exercise oversight over all of the flock. And we try, as we come together and we pray and we ask, Lord, what does the flock need? What is it that as we look out over the whole flock, and as we look out over you, and we say, what needs are there? Actually, the message that Jared preached last week, And the message that I'm preaching today comes out of that. As elders, we've been asking, we've been praying, Lord, what are the needs? And one of the needs that we felt was that we haven't done a very good job, perhaps, of just communicating to you to our heart and what it is that we believe that, that is our responsibility, what our roles are as shepherds here. And if you don't know what our roles are, then how can we effectively shepherd if you misunderstand what our roles are? So these two messages came partly out of that, looking out for the needs of the whole flock. And another way that we watch over the church as a whole in exercising oversight is in the decisions that we need to make as an eldership. We exercise responsibility and oversight as we come together sometimes in elders' meetings, and in those elders' meetings, a lot of times we have to discuss things about the church. You know, we have responsibility to over all areas of the church, everything, all the ministries, the finances, missions, the building, everything else that pertains to the church comes under our oversight, because everything is connected together. Everything has spiritual ramifications to it. So all these decisions we need to talk about. And we do. That's part of our oversight as we exercise our responsibility in shepherding the church. And let me just pause maybe to make another important point. As elders in the church, as pastors in the church, we all function equally as we oversee and as we manage the affairs of the church. I hope you understand that. There's not only an equality in our position as elders, there's a functioning equality when we come together and we exercise oversight over the church and the affairs of the church. And so as matters come up and decisions need to be made, again, it's not a corporate structure. It's not like there's one guy or there's two guys that really dictates really all the decisions that are made in the church. I want you to know that. Matter of fact, sometimes I think maybe it wouldn't be healthy for you to be in our elders' meetings. Because, you know, we don't always agree. Does that surprise you? Matter of fact, sometimes we have very big disagreements about things. And sometimes we have really fun, animated discussions with each other in elders' meetings. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are men who are committed to Christ, committed to the church, committed to one another. And we can go away from those times of discussion. Sometimes we've made a decision, we've come to an agreement. Just like the scriptures say that we are to submit, that you are to submit to us as elders as we lead, we submit to one another in the eldership sometimes in matters that, you know, really aren't, you know, doctrinal, deep, really clear things. We do that, but sometimes when we do that, we can get animated, but we always, and I just want to know, it's a joy that we can leave those elders' meetings, even with those discussions, with brothers in Christ, loving one another, with the desire, knowing that each of us have the same desire at heart. And it's a real joy to do that. But also, let me try to encourage you along this way. You know, we've, in the last year and a half, have had three new elders with Mike and Jared and Carl. And I just want you to know that these three men are godly men. They're younger men than us. They are godly men. They are men that love Christ, that love the church, that love you, and that have taken their place in the eldership, not in kind of a backseat way. They are leaders in the church. They are leaders among us, and they are leaders among you. And I just want to publicly say thank you, God, for the joy that it is to be able to have these three men, all of the elders, as we serve together. Well, we serve then oversight over the flock as a whole. But we also have responsibility to shepherd you individually. And once again, we see this in the imagery of the sheep. The faithful shepherd doesn't just stand aside, look at the flock as a whole, and say, well, I'm going to meet the needs of the flock. I'm going to take them to still waters, or I'm going to take them to green pastures. And that's as if he's done his responsibility. He knows his sheep individually. Christ says in John 10:3, the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And that's just an analogy, I think, as of us as under-shepherds of Christ, that we have the responsibility to know you individually. When the shepherd went in and out among the sheep, he would look at them individually. And he would actually know them by name. And he would look at a particular sheep and know, you know, that particular sheep has a tendency to wander. And so he would keep his eye on that particular sheep because he knows that sheep, if he's not careful, is going to wander away. Perhaps he comes to the sheep and one of his responsibilities is as he pulls the wool apart and he looks for any kinds of parasites or ticks and he actually takes that individual sheep and he treats it with salve and he cares for that sheep. He comes on a sheep with a limp And he picks that individual sheep up and he carries the sheep with him as they go from one place to another. I mean, the shepherd had to care individually for each one of those sheep in his flock. And again, we see something of the responsibility of that here in the church. And if you get nothing else from the message this morning, I hope that you'll get this. As your pastors, we take very seriously our responsibility to shepherd you as individuals. And again, as pastors, I think that we come to you this morning and confess and ask forgiveness that we haven't always done that well. And it hasn't always been at the center of what it is that we've done. And it's easy sometimes to get distracted by things and distracted by decisions and distracted by ministries that we forget. Listen, our primary responsibility is to minister to each one of you as the sheep in this church. That's our primary role. And we want you to get that we may not always have done it well. And we may not even now do it well, but that, at least, is our heart. And I hope even in the last year and a half, as we have as an eldership, in the last year and a half particularly, we've been reading, we've been praying, we've been looking at Scripture, and we've been trying to be more intentional about this. And we're trying to be intentional about how it is that we go about trying to shepherd you as individuals. So let me try to finish up by focusing a few minutes on, again, how we view ourselves as pastors as we try to be faithful shepherds. And I'm going to mention these briefly and just comment on them briefly. So five things I want to tell you about that we, as we view ourselves, and we want you to view us and understand what it is that we're trying to do. First, we do not view ourselves as above you in the sense of more important, like we're bosses or something. We do not view ourselves as above you in this way. The structure of the church is not a corporate structure. We're not like CEOs in the business. We're not like a board. We actually don't like to hear the term that we are a board of elders. We're not a board of elders. We are men that have been gifted by Christ and given the responsibility in the church to shepherd. And we're not above you. We are simply exercising the gifts that God has given to us. Remember last week in the message that Jared talked about how in the church Christ has gifted individuals in different ways, and that as the body comes together by exercising those gifts, by using those gifts with one another, that's what builds the church up. That's what helps the church. That's what encourages the church. That's how the church is to function. Well, that's the way we are. We're not like a corporate structure where we're up here and everybody else is down here. We are in and among the church. We are part of the church, and we are trying to use the giftedness that we've been given as Christ would have us, as we are in and among you as the church. So we don't view ourselves as being more important. We don't view ourselves as being above you. We are simply children of God, saved by the grace of God, trying to serve Christ in the church as you are trying to serve Christ in the church in the way that God has called us and gifted us. Secondly, as elders, I want to reemphasize that we've been called to care for each one of you. And this is a sober responsibility when we think that we have been called to shepherd each and every one of you. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." That's for another message. "For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account." Do you hear what that says? As your fellow elders, as those of you that are out here and myself, do you hear what that says to us? That we one day will have to give an account for every single individual, one of you, in the church, and how we have shepherded, and whether we've been faithful in shepherding, and where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Not that we can give you salvation, but it's our responsibility to protect and to guard and to detect and to keep. And we're going to have to give an answer for that. And if we don't do that, then woe be to us in one day. Remember what Mike read in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34:4, let me just read it again. "The weak," talking about those false shepherds of Israel, "the weak you have not strengthened. The sick you've not healed. The injured you've not bound up. The strayed you've not brought back. The lost you have not sought." Do you see that? And that's a charge to us as shepherds here in that way, that we have individual oversight over all of you in those things. Well, number three, we can't be faithful shepherds if we're not with you. If we don't make a conscious, intentional effort to know you and to know where you are spiritually in a relationship with Christ, we can't shepherd you if we don't know you and if we don't make a conscious effort to know you. And I hope you can see that there are way too many of you for all of us to know every single one of you individually. That's the challenge that we have as shepherds. I can't know every single one of you in the most intimate way that I would like to. We just can't do it. And if you don't know it already, that's the reason that as elders, we've divided you up into shepherding groups. I don't know, maybe you know that. How many of you know that? Some of you do. We've divided you up into shepherding groups so that every one of you have one of us as an elder that you are part of our primary shepherding group. And this begins with our flocks. That's why we've placed such an emphasis on flocks, because when I come together with the people that are part of my flock, everyone that's in my flock is part of my primary shepherding group so that I can get to know them. And those that come to the flock regularly, and I'm so thankful for the people that are in my flock, you know, as we get together, I get to know them, and I know them by name. I know the needs they have. I know their children. They share things that are going on in their lives. And so that when I pray throughout the week, as I'm supposed to do, I go through and I pray for those particular needs, for those people that are under my care. And apart from the flock, because not everybody's part of one of our flocks, there are some flocks that are not led by one of us as as an elder. So those that are not part of our individual flocks are also then divided up among us. So even if you're not part of my flock, I've got a group of people that are part of my shepherding group that I still shepherd in the same way as those people that are part of my flock. And I have to make an extra effort. I have to make an extra effort to try to get together with those people and try to find out what's going on. So as shepherds, I just want you to know that we are making intentional effort to individually get to know you so that we can shepherd you. Well, the fourth thing, although you are all under the special shepherding care of each one of us, as pastors, we all have responsibility for all of you that are members of the church. This means that when we come together in an eldership, there are times that your name comes up in the eldership. Does that surprise you? That we sit together as elders, and when there is a concern that we have about one of you, we bring your name up. And we say, yes, so-and-so, you know what? There's a particular thing that we've been noticing. There's a pattern that we've been noticing in their life, or there's something that they're going through. And a lot of times it's just in the way of encouragement. It says, you know, so-and-so is going through this particular trial. Did you know that? As we share it with the rest of the pastors, no, I didn't know that. Well, you need to really be praying and thinking about that and interaction with them. Sometimes we are concerned. Sometimes we're concerned for individuals in the flock. And as we are concerned about that, we name you by name, and we say, listen, we're concerned for so-and-so. They haven't been coming to church for a long time. Does anybody know why? And so, yeah, I've contacted them. I've talked to them, and there's not really any reason. They just, you know, say, well, they're busy on Sunday morning. But more importantly than that, we're not just trying to get people to be at church. More importantly than that, well, you know, they don't have any interaction in the flock. They really don't seem to care about the church. They don't really seem to have a love and a passion for Christ, and we're concerned for them. Do you see what it is that we do? And we do that together as men because we have responsibility to shepherd you together, not just as individuals. I hope this comforts you. I hope that you're encouraged by that, not alarmed by that, that we are taking seriously our responsibility to shepherd. And then lastly, and so I want to be very quick to add that we're so thankful for most of you. We're thankful for all of you, but we're but we're particularly thankful for most of you. That as shepherds, we look out and we say, you know what? We shepherd a people that love Christ. And you know, it is such a joy. We serve a people that just evidence in their life, not just because they're here on Sunday morning, that really do evidence they have a heart for Christ, a love for the church. They're trying to serve God. They're trying to be faithful husbands. They're trying to be good fathers. They're trying to be good employees. They're trying to reach out with the gospel. They're trying to train their children. They love missions, and they love each other, and they minister to each other, and they care for one another. Praise God. We have such a joy in all of that. But sometimes I get the idea, the impression, that saddens me, that sometimes whenever we have contact with you as elders, that the first thing that comes to your mind is, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know, I had a man that I called a few weeks ago to have coffee with. I said, you know, let's meet for coffee up at McDonald's. And it happened to be on a Sunday, and he said, yeah, we can do that tomorrow, Monday. So I didn't think anything about it. I mean, you know, great, I was looking forward to it. So I got together, and the first thing that happened when I met this man, he said, what did I do? You know, am I in trouble for something? And I was rebuked. So what a sad commentary on us, on me personally at least, as an elder, whenever I call to get together with somebody, and the first thought is, what did I do? You know, that shouldn't be. That's an indictment on what kind of an elder that I am, what kind of a shepherd that I am. Because our primary role is not negative. Our primary role is not to lord it over you, to try to get you to come into line with ourselves, with something that we want. We're to come with humility. We come because we love you. We come because we want so much to encourage you. We want so much to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. That's our primary role, I think, is that of encouragement. You know, living the Christian life isn't easy, is it? It's not easy for us. And so as shepherds, we want to come alongside and we want to encourage, we want to help. And I think this is the very context of 1 Peter chapter 5. Maybe you've never noticed that before. What is the letter written to in 1 Peter 5? Why does Peter write this letter? He's writing because there are people in Asia Minor, people in these churches that are just going through absolutely terrible, difficult times. Very difficult trials. They've attached themselves to Christ through the gospel. They love the Lord Jesus. And because of their attachment to Him, they're suffering. And they've lost jobs. They've had families that have ostracized them. They're wondering, some of them, where their next meal is going to be. They're being tempted. Was it really worth it? Was it really worth it to give myself to Jesus in this way when I'm suffering in this way? Is this really what I should expect? And Peter comes along to encourage them, and he does that in the first four chapters. And then he comes to chapter 5 and he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. What's he saying? He said, listen, you need to get together with those individuals in your churches, and you need to shepherd them. You need to love them. You need to encourage them. They're going through some tough times. And as faithful shepherds, you need to go and you need to remind them of the gospel. You need to remind them that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. You need to remind them of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for them. You need to remind them that God is sovereign and what they're going through is not something that is out of God's control, that He's got a purpose in it. You need to get in and among those people. You need to go from house to house, and you need to put your arm around them, and you need to shepherd them. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And that is the heart that we have as pastors. So let me just close by telling you that. You've been entrusted to our care. We are shepherds. We are men that need your prayers, because the task that we have is a task that we cannot do by ourselves. We can't do apart from the grace of God. And we're going to make mistakes because we're men. We're going to make errors. We're going to make decisions that probably aren't the best decisions to make because we're men. We are not the great shepherd. We are under shepherds. And so we are human. But our heart is that we want to love you, and we want to shepherd you, and we want to teach you. We want to encourage you. And at times, yes, we need to come and admonish and correct. That's part of shepherding. But not because we don't love you, because we're trying to be faithful. So please, please pray for us in this way as we seek to be faithful shepherds in the flock. Let's pray.